It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom. And hey, good Wednesday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station at this time or any time as we pray for revival in America. Get set. We have two special guests on today who will be talking about two of the major problems in our society, in Christendom today, and that is marriage and divorce and finances. So we got two different friends of mine who will be on, so don't go away. It's going to be a great broadcast here on this Wednesday on BPN Radio. Here we go. Father, we pray right now that your will, plan, and purpose be done here on this Wednesday as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Lord, you know that we need you today. We know, you know that we desperately need you, God, because you're the only hope for our nation. Lord, we live in a very crazy world, in a very crazy time. And we need your help today. We desperately need your help. And we just come by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus here on this Wednesday on BPN Radio. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and anoint this broadcast to touch the lives of people, transform us, make us new. Blow, Holy Spirit, upon this nation. We pray for revival in 1,000 cities. We pray for 1,000 prayer leaders in 1,000 cities. In Jesus' name, Lord, we need you now. In the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for prayer leaders that are part of the BPN network. We pray for them right now in Jesus' name. And we believe you for 1,000 prayer leaders. We pray for those who are either leading public prayer groups or private prayer groups and are part of the Breakout Prayer Network. We pray for Sean Patrick Williams, who's leading prayer at Warriors Nation International Ministries in Greenwood, South Carolina. And today, we also pray for Roy Ivins, who's leading a private prayer group in Lubbock, Texas. We pray for Stephen Strader, who's leading a prayer group in Lakeland, Florida. We pray for Tom Santopolo, who is leading a prayer at Gateway Church in Rutland, Vermont. We pray for Becky Barton, woman who is leading prayer at Woman of the Word in Winfield, Louisiana. Linda Ragland, we pray for her. She's leading prayer at private locations in Austin, Marathon, and Angleton, Texas. We pray for Lisa Roberts Helton, leading prayer at College Station, Texas. We pray for Neil Eflin, who is leading prayer at Best Way Lending in Gig Harbor, Washington. Tom Benegas has a prayer group in Brussels, Belgium. Pray for him. Bussington Charles, leading prayer at River of Joy, Kampala, Uganda. And Jennifer Nahovi is leading, has a private location at Miami Gardens, Florida. Dana Price, leading prayer at Church of Love, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Steve Hayes, leading prayer at Sapphire Ministries in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Maurice and Beverly Anderson has a private prayer group in Oceanside, California. John Salisbury has a private group in Elgin, South Carolina. Lucy Herrera is a private location in Austin, Texas. Bill Hart, leading prayer at Cathedral of Praise in Austin, Texas. Jill McCray has a private location in Kansas City, Missouri. Eric and Aaron Marte is leading a prayer at Rock Family Worship Center in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We pray for them. We pray for Sonia Schimmel, who's leading prayer at Revolution Church in Port Angeles, Washington. Jackie Thomas is a private prayer group in Bristow, California. Rebecca Brindle is leading prayer over Facebook. She's from Blairsville, Georgia. Jamie Peters, leading prayer at Trinity Church International, Lake Worth, Florida. Jim Loper, leading prayer at Cornerstone Church, Amarillo, California. Adolfo Pacheco at Clearview Church, Chino, California. And we have Georgia Peters leading prayer at Chattooga Regional Nursing Home in Hiawassee, Georgia. Mel Rose leading prayer on Facebook in New Orleans, Louisiana. Anna Silverthorne leading prayer, Crawford County Christian Center, Robinson, Illinois. Father, we pray for all of these prayer leaders that are leading prayer at least once a week in their city in America. And we are agreeing, Lord, for the cities in which we dwell, and we are praying for those in authority, the mayor, the city council, school board, pastors, leading business people, people that sit at the gates. And so we pray for them today. We pray for revival in 1,000 cities in America. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And Father, today we pray for the divorce rate that continues to skyrocket in America, that continues to skyrocket in this nation. And Father God, we just know that you desire to heal marriages all across the land. And so, Father, we pray for our next guest, Bill Shannon, as we get ready to interview him as he talks about the marriage and divorce problem in America today. And we cover this interview with prayer in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it's a privilege to have here on BPN Radio today the founder of the Marriage Institute, Bill Shannon, one of my spiritual sons and a longtime friend. And Bill, of course, has been praying with me for a long, long time. So, Bill, welcome to the broadcast today.
Thank you, Dr. Gentry. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I know you're the founder of the Marriage Institute. We're going to talk about marriage today, and we're going to talk about destroying the biggest epidemic in the world, and that is divorce. I know that God hates divorce, but he loves the divorcee. But I know that God has given you an assignment to help destroy the epidemic of divorce. So talk about your journey for just a moment.
Yes, sir. It was Christmas time, 2012. And I love Christmas time and always have. Grew up in Michigan, living in Ohio at the time. And in my 25 years of marriage journey was coming to an end. And it was a very tough situation with the kids and everything. And I had to get out. I just had to go, and just after Christmas, I had to go and just take some time and see what God was doing. And I went to visit some friends in Fresno, California. And they were having some battles in their marriage, and I went out there to encourage them and try to help them a little bit. And at the conclusion of it, I flew from Fresno back to Phoenix, Arizona, ready to catch a flight to go back to Columbus. And as I sat there and I boarded the plane, I put my suitcase and my briefcase up in the bin above the seats, and I sit down, and all of a sudden, I can't stay on that plane. There was no way I could stay on that plane. I begin to feel so uneasy. And so I got up, and the stewardess said, "Sir, you're going to have to sit down. We're going to close the door. We're going to leave." And I said, "No." I said, "I'm not going." So I grabbed my briefcase and my suitcase, and I left the plane. I walked back two gates, and from my iPhone, I'm booking a flight back to Fresno. And I knew it was your schedule that year, and I may get emotional. To start the year ministering in Dinuba, California. And I had to get to Dinuba. I don't know why I had to get there to Dinuba. And I walked in, and I was going to, you know, see you after the service and surprise you. I didn't want to throw you off. And I get there for the first service, and you're ministering on, "If I am Satan and I'm coming to America, I'm going to start with the father to destroy the family." The second message you spoke on was the year of the suddenly. The third message was the year of the big. And I may have, you know, there's a huge crowd in the place while you were ministering, but I think if I was the only person there, the Holy Spirit was there going to speak to me. And what happened at that point is the Holy Spirit began to move in me to now go in and establish an institute that will deal with the biggest epidemic that's happening to 52% of Americans the first time, 67% the second time, 73% the third time, and that is divorce. And I researched and I looked what's going on in the jails. I look what's happening, the dysfunction in America. I look at all that's happening to kids and everything that's happening that's destroying us. The root cause is divorce. I've been in the manufacturing business for 30 years, and when we have a problem, you know, with something we're manufacturing, we do a root cause analysis. We want to get to the root of the problem, fix it, so we can move forward. And that is the thing that is just driving in me, is we got to do something to stop this. And so that's how it all began to start, and the journey through the year of the suddenly and the year of the big events and big things happening begin to happen starting in January 2013.
Okay, I'm talking today with Bill Shannon, who is the founder of the Marriage Institute in Orlando, Florida. And you can go to the website. It's a great website at themarriageinstitute.org. That's themarriageinstitute.org. How are you going to help stamp out divorce? How are you going to attack this divorce? How are you doing? And what are some of the major excuses for divorce? What is happening out there?
Well, what has to happen is the awareness. You know, people just don't know where they're at. Only 7% of all the people that we know that are married live in a thriving marriage. Okay, so what that means, 93% of all those people we know who are married living an average marriage to a crisis marriage. So what we want to do is we bring awareness, education, counseling, and healing for these people. And couples, I'm finding they want to do it, they want it right, but they just don't know how. So we give them a roadmap. If you look at our website, there is an area called the marriage test. And God has given us 46 questions that have 5 different ways to answer it. And you can take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, 5 minutes, whatever it takes, and you go to the website and you answer those questions. At the end of it, it gives you a full assessment of where things are at in your marriage. Then from there, we can give you the help that you need. Give me the tools to live a thriving marriage. And that's what's been so exciting is, what can we do? Well, how can we, what's the starting point? If we're sick, we're not feeling good, we go to the doctor. And then he starts to assess our situation. And that was the same thing that we wanted to do, beginning stage one, is bring that out to a couple.
Well, I'm looking here back at the statistics you have. 52% of first marriages end in divorce, 67% of second marriages, and 73% of third marriages. And those are amazing statistics, but it's happening. And I know that you have you've declared war on divorce, and someone that's gone through that particular pathway, that I know that you certainly understand it. And so some popular excuses for getting a divorce. First of all, is selfishness.
Yes, sir, it is. Yep, that right there. And then, you know, it used to be everybody would say, you know, money was the biggest problem. And now, no, it's not. It's, you know, one of those things, it's a dysfunctional sexual marriage, which is, you know, root of all the problems. The children, money and financial, trust and being disloyal, infidelity and emotional affairs. Facebook is one of those words I cannot stand. I know there's a lot of good things come out of Facebook, but more affairs and more inappropriate behavior, stepping over the boundaries, are coming from that vehicle, Facebook. You know, there's no need for somebody to contact somebody they knew in high school that they may have dated or wanted to date, and they're 50 years old. It's just, you know, come on, you know, give us a break here. You know, it's one of those things that people don't know where they're at in their marriages. They don't know where their boundaries are. They just are looking for something to bring some satisfaction to them. You know, we get addictions out of it, drugs, pornography, alcoholism, everything you can think of is coming from the root of a dysfunctional marriage.
Wow, this is, well, I know it's a major problem in our nation. And I like the marriage test that you give here on your website, themarriageinstitute.org. And how many questions do you have here?
It's exactly 46.
46 questions. So people go on there, and they've got first of all, the first question, my spouse and I learn from each other. Then you have these 5 categories, definitely not true, not really true, somewhat true, mostly true, and very true. And then then they fill that out, and then you can actually get some insight about where they're at in their marriage.
Well, what it is, you know, we write an algorithm, you know, to be able to take all it, balance it out, add it up, divide it out, and it will give you, you're a 73%, or you're a 79%, you're a 46%, whatever it is. But anything really under a 90, you know, you borderline as an average marriage, and you got to get something to get it propped up and get it moving in the right direction, because I looked at where my kids went to school. A 90 got you a B, and you had to have a 94 to get an A. So to get into that statistics, we're 97% or only 7%. You got to get a 93 and above to have a thriving marriage. But it always takes place. You know, it's kind of your flower bed. You know, if you don't weed the flower bed, they will overtake the good stuff. So we constantly have to be, you know, understanding of what marriage is, understanding our wives and our husbands' love languages. We got to constantly be making that the priority to keep things moving and keep things thriving.
Well, I believe that. And I've got here where the Marriage Institute does premarital counseling, crisis marriage counseling, coaching, training those who take up the same cause. And so, wow. And I'm thankful that you, being a business person involved in the business world for so many years, have elected now to start this ministry and respond to this God assignment. So any closing remarks you might have, Bill, and I want you to pray for marriages, if you will, because that's what we're doing here on BPN Radio. We are praying for marriages, and we are praying against the biggest epidemic in the world, and that's divorce. So I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yes, sir. The thing of it is, when we get our homes right, we're going to get our churches right. The churches aren't dealing with this the way they should. It's the biggest problem that they have in their congregation. But many pastors are dealing with it themselves, and they just don't know how to get to the other side. So bringing the awareness and education is foremost, and then bring the healing. But, when you see a marriage that thrives, when I watch you and Gene, and I just poetry in motion for me, and God has just given me an insight where I can see this stuff. I can see the hurt in children when they live in a divorced family and all the different effects from it. And it grips my heart so much. And it doesn't have to be. Most marriages don't have to be. And for anybody that's out there kidding themselves or saying, yeah, my marriage is okay, well, I thought mine was too. And one day I woke up, and I was in the biggest fight of my life. And so, you know what? You have to take this very serious, because the enemy of our souls is trying to do one thing: destroy our destiny, destroy our children's destiny. And I'm not going to let it happen. And so that's the thing that everybody needs to consider and really take a deep breath and see where they're at.
Well, thank you, Bill. And I want you to pray in just a moment for the marriages, but you can go to the website. And you can get some more information by just filling out your name, your email address, any questions you may have or comments. And one more time, themarriageinstitute.org is the website, themarriageinstitute.org. And Bill Shannon is the founder, is with us today here on BPN Radio. We're going to pray for marriages. Bill, why don't you go ahead and pray? And
yes, sir.
Then we'll move forward. Thank you very much for being on the broadcast today.
It's my pleasure. Father, I thank you for BPN Radio and the chance to share today, Lord. And gosh, this epidemic that is destroying your people, our land. And God, I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and send revival to marriages, that they would wake up, and Lord, they would become what you've intended it to be. Lord, the strength of this nation is our families. And God, only you can turn us around. Only you can bring us back to where we're supposed to be. And Lord, I just pray you would use the Marriage Institute and all the other people fighting for this cause, God, to make significant strides moving forward, God, to what would bring glory and honor to your name and to this nation. Oh, God, we've come so far. We have fallen so fast, but only you can turn us around, God. Revive us, I pray. Heal us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we trust that you enjoyed that interview with one of our spiritual sons and businessman and leader of that incredible ministry there in Orlando, Florida. And I'm sure that you'll want to get more information about that as we continue to pray concerning the family here in America. Abraham Lincoln said, strong families make a strong nation, weak families make a weak nation. I want to remind you that you're listening to BPN Radio. your 24-hour internet prayer station. On at this time or any time, as we pray for revival in America and the spiritual awakening. And we pray, Lord, right now for our nation. We need you now, O God. We must have you. We pray that you would come and fill this nation with your Holy Spirit. We pray for city after city. We live in a very crazy world. I mean, most of you have been hearing about, you know, it's been on the news about the killing of a lion in Zimbabwe. And, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling to me that there would be more of an outcry on the killing of a lion in a nation thousands of miles away than the killing of 55 million babies in the land in which we dwell. And not only the aborting of babies, but then taking and selling their body parts. And there's been more outcry concerning Cecil the Lion than there has been about these 55 million babies. Most of them don't even have a name, but they certainly had a plan when they were in their mother's womb. Father, forgive us, we pray, for the abortion of these 55 million babies. And forgive us, Lord, forgive the church and Christians for not crying out on behalf of these that had no voice, a good plan, but no voice. Forgive our nation for the aborting of 55 million babies and selling their body parts with very little outcry. God, help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And if you have a prayer request, you can give your prayer request at bpnradio.com. Go down to the prayer request and we'll be praying. You submit your prayer request, we'll be praying for you because we certainly need to pray. So we're thankful that you're a part of BPN Radio around the clock, this time or any time. We thank you for your support. And if you'd like to make a contribution to BPN, you can do so by going to bpnradio.com. Go down to the donate button, and you can click on there, and you can certainly make a contribution to Breakout Prayer Network with your debit card, credit card, PayPal. You can also, there's an address to send a check if you'd like to make a contribution. Very thankful, very grateful for that. And speaking of finances, we know one of the greatest pressures in this world is financial pressure. And I'm so delighted to have on the phone with me today Gerald Davis, a longtime friend of mine. He's going to talk about finances, and I know that you're going to be tremendously blessed. Well, it's a delight to have on with me today here on BPN Radio a man that has been my friend for the past 25 years, Gerald Davis. And Gerald is the author of several books. He spent 20 years as a pastor of churches in the earlier years of his ministry. And for the rest of his 59 years of ministry, he's been a guest speaker in churches across America, traveling over 40 countries, doing missionary work activities. He earned his Doctor of Divinity degree from Gulf Coast Seminary in Panama City, Florida. And he now lives in Conroe, Texas, with his wife, Thelma. They were married 60 years on June the 1st of this year. Quite an accomplishment. Gerald, it's a delight to have a true pioneer here on the broadcast with us today. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Brother Dale.
And you've been a very faithful man. You've certainly been a tremendous influence in my life. You've been a man of faith, a man of prayer. I'll never forget when Gene was diagnosed with cancer in 2004, 10 years ago. How you stood in faith with us and give us daily encouragement almost and prayed prayers of faith. And I know that you've accomplished a lot in your ministry, and I certainly honor and respect you and your wife, Thelma, and thank you for your friendship. And you have blazed a trail for many, many to follow. And there's a lot of different subjects that we could talk about, and I'm looking forward even to have you on again. But today, I'd like for you to talk about indebtedness, getting out of debt, how people can prosper, how God desires for us to prosper, because I know that you've written a lot of materials, recorded a lot of videos and CDs. And so for the next 20 minutes, I'd like for you to talk to us about how to come out of debt, how to prosper. There's a lot of people just feel like they can never get their head above water. But I know that you have learned some principles that have worked in your life and have worked in many other people's lives. So why don't you just talk to us a little bit today?
I will. I was below the bottom, Brother Dale. And when I say below the bottom, I'm talking about in the courts. In 1975, and had lost a business that I had, and everything was gone. And I had been a good boy, so to speak. I was born and raised in a minister's home, both mother and daddy, preachers and pastors. And I had lived a good life. God had given me a good wife, had two sons. And I hadn't defaulted in my marriage. I had paid tithes from the time I was a child at home, taught to. And yet I went under financially, and it put me in a prayer mode of seeking and asking God why. I just could not understand, and everybody, all the ministers that I knew were always struggling with money. And you know, if I had the money, here's what I would do, was the typical conversation. And for 2 years, I sought the Lord to talk to me. And one day, while I was in my office on a Saturday evening, I just leaned back in my chair, and I just said, God, you know, I'm preparing a message here to preach to the people tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about what we're going to have when we die. And I said, it seems like I don't have any answers to help people now before they die. What is it that I'm missing? Why did I go under financially, you know, just 2 years before this? Why? I don't understand. I said, Father, you know, you told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I'd do it if I had the money. They won't give me those airplane tickets. They won't give me those hotel rooms. I have to have money to do it. And I'm just not into begging. I can't beg God's people. I said, I know you've got ways and answers to our issues and our lack that I just apparently have never heard preached or taught. And I just don't understand. I said, you know, God, if I had the money, I would go. And I remember I didn't mean to be short with God, but I remember I said, you know, God, what is your problem? I'd go if I had the money, and you love them more than I do. And I heard the Lord speak to me just downside in my spirit, how that voice can just float up into your conscience. And the Lord said to me, I saved your soul. Did you do anything to get saved? I hesitated for a while. I said, well, sure I did. What did you do? I said, well, I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, and you saved me. And I heard this in my spirit. He said, good. You did what I told you to do, and I did what I told you I would do. Then he asked me another question. I've healed you numbers of times in your life. Did you do anything to get healed? And I thought, well, sure. What did you do? Well, I did several things, and sometimes I just resisted the devil, like you said in your word, and he'd flee from me. And other times I called for the elders of the church, and they'd lay hands on me, pray for me, anoint me with oil. And you hear me? And I heard again down in my spirit, good. you did what you did what I told you to do. Then I did what I said I would do. Then I heard this. Why are you praying for money? That's not what I told you to do to get it. If you did what I told you to do, you'd have it. Well, at that point, my mind immediately went to the tithing. And I said, Lord, I've tithed all of my life. I don't understand what that means. And then I saw it. The Lord said, yes, all of your life, you have avoided being a God robber. You just weren't stealing from me. What have you done with your money? And then I saw it. He just showed it to me like this. If a farmer owns land and he wants to crop, if it's a lot of land, he has the seed and he hires someone to go sow his seed. When the harvest comes in, who's going to get that harvest? The one who sowed the seed on his behalf, or the farmer who owned the seed and owned the property? And clearly, it just was so clear to me. God, the owner of the seed and the land, the farmer, owns the harvest because that was his money. He pays wages to those who do his service and sow his seed on his behalf. That's the tithe. And then I saw it. If a person who is hired by the farmer wants his own crop, if he wants his own harvest, he must take out of his money, his seed, and sow it in a field, and then he has the right to the harvest. Whoever owns the seed and the field has the right to the harvest. And then I saw the difference between tithing and giving. At that point, I knew he was telling me that I was not a giver. And I had always tithed, but I was very careful about any giving because it seemed like I was in a bind anyway. How could I give more? So I felt like I was doing pretty good with my tithe.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when the giving portion just rose up in front of me, and then Luke 6:38, give it shall be given. And the Lord said, you did well by not stealing my money. What are you going to do with your money? That's where the harvest is. Well, that changed my life, completely changed my life. And I started, oh, God, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, because you know you don't know, you're open to learn. And I'm going to teach you if you listen to me. And Brother Dale, from that point on, he started showing me things in the scriptures. There were things that were received by some of the people that I preached and taught it to, some who did not receive it. And there were levels. Some would say receive, you know, more than others would. But it seemed like there were limitations, you know, on every level of how far a person was willing to go. And I say that based on the fact that I began to teach a debt-free living lifestyle. You know, how to be free from the borrowing, using other people's money instead of our own money. And when God began to show me those things, those principles, it just began to open up a whole new world. And inside of 1 year, I made my first trip overseas, stayed 30 days, got back home, and never had to borrow a dime. It was completely paid for. So that's the beginning of how these teachings
And what year was it you had that revelation?
That would have been in 70. That would have been in 77.
Wow! And so how long did it take for you to get out of debt?
Well, by 1987, 10 years following the opening up of those principles and the words the Lord taught me, I was completely out of debt 10 years later, except for my home. And I had about, I guess, 7 or 8 years left on my home. And so I'd haven't had to borrow money now at the time of this radio broadcast. I haven't had to borrow money since 1987.
Wow, that's a long time.
I didn't get my home paid off until 99, and that happened supernaturally based on the giving principles.
Well, give our the people here listening to BPN Radio today, give them a few principles on getting out of debt. I know that I do know that the key is sowing the seed above the tithe. But a lot of people say, "Well, I just have enough money to pay my bills and get by. I don't have any extra seed." What can you say to them?
You know, Brother Dale, I found out that just being a giver and a tither was not the end of it. It's not something that is automatic. Our faith must constantly be there in order for these principles to operate and function in our life. Obedience is the end result of true faith, you know. And when we obey God, we're showing Him that we believe Him. And I have taught this after I learned it in my own life, that people can get out of debt and off of the borrowing lifestyle in the same way they got saved. We didn't get saved because we did everything right. We got saved by grace. And we can get out of debt using our faith and believing God for the miracles on the same principle, by grace. You know, God said in Deuteronomy 15 to His people, "I want you to have a law of release where you release everybody among you that's in debt every 7 years." And He said, "I want this law to be intact until the time that there be no poor among you." That clearly tells us what God's dream is. He wants His people free from bondage and out from under the lifestyle of debt. You know, when we're borrowers, we're not the lenders, we're the borrowers. I suppose some people can mix it up some, but it's not God's will. It's not a sin to borrow, but it's not His will that His people should have to. He wants His people to rise up and become the lenders and be the head instead of the tail. And so I've learned five levels of godly scriptural prosperity. If you want me to, I'll name them for you.
Yeah, you go ahead, Daryl.
All right. The five levels of godly scriptural prosperity, based on everything I have learned from the time God began to speak to me in 1977. Level number one, get a job. God never promised anybody an abundance who wouldn't work. You know, we have welfare programs. Thank God for helping the poor and those needy and those who can't work. But a person can work if they want to, doing something. Even paraplegics find some way to produce and do things if they want to. It's just a matter of desire. We have to recognize the principle. You know, Paul was awful severe in his statement when he said, "If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat." But at the same time, God is a God of mercy and kindness and goodness, and we do help the poor. But we can't. But those who are on a welfare system of some kind, you know, it may be that their basic needs would be met, but they don't have anything extra to help others. And God wants us to be in position so that we can lend and not borrow. Then the second level, Brother Dale, is to learn to invest. When you have a job and you have money coming in, learn to invest without taking a loss. Well, nearly anything that you invest in that man has control of stands a chance of taking a loss. But the one investment that will not take a loss is when I give it on the horizontal in the name of Jesus and release it as a gift unto God. Give as unto, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And when I do that, I am lending money, literally, scripturally, it says so. I am lending money to God when I give to the poor or to anybody that needs help.
Yeah.
So God views it as a loan when I give,
right.
And I will repay, says the Lord. Level number three, get out of debt, because debt has so much disadvantage to it. You pay far more than we realize in interest when we are in debt. And not only that, you're under control instead of being in control. The borrower is servant to the lender.
Yeah.
And I believe the difference between being the head or the tail as a Christian is basically whether or not we are under the control of men or strictly free to operate and listen to the Holy Ghost and follow God.
Yeah.
I like it when the credit bureau no longer controls what I can or can't do. I want God to be in control. I want Him to speak to me, and if He tells me to do something, I want to be obedient and do it.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to me on one occasion, came to me in the night and asked me if I would send $5,000 to a certain church. And the Lord just spoke to him, and he said they're raising money, they don't want to borrow. And I had preached down there many times. And I said, yes, I will. I didn't, you know, I had the money, but I was trying to get money together for an airplane. And so I was trying to save money and didn't want to borrow. And when the Lord said that to me, I said, well, yes, I will. He didn't tell me to do it. He just asked me if I would.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got up, I went and made out that check, and I sent it to that church. And a short time later, a man called me on the phone and said, Brother Gerald, I understand that you're trying to buy an airplane. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, you prayed for me and for my wife when she was pregnant and prayed over a healthy baby. And he said, we have a fine baby boy. And he said, I just could never forget that you said you wanted to buy your own airplane. He said, could I meet you somewhere? I want to give you a check and help you. And so I met with him at a restaurant, and he handed me a check for $30,000. And on my way home, after I left him, my Thelma was with me, and I said, darling, why? Why do you think that man gave us that kind of check? I said, I've never had anybody give us that kind of money. No church, no individual, no business, nobody yeah. has ever handed us that much money.
Yeah.
And she kind of shrugged her shoulders, and suddenly I heard that little voice from down inside said, you never had given away $5,000 before either.
Yeah.
So he raised me to another level, because I never had given away that much money yeah. at one time.
Yeah.
The fourth level is develop your own storehouse. Have your own money in reserve. After you get out of debt and get free from that kind of bondage, then develop your own storehouse. And you remember in different places, God said, I will bless you in your storehouses.
Right.
And so it's not just talking about the storehouse of the church or the ministry. God wants us to have our own reserves. He wants us to have our own money.
Yeah.
And so He has blessed us in various ways. I don't have any other source of income other than those that God just puts together and hands me money from different directions, you know, in people's lives.
Yeah.
So today, I bought that airplane, paid cash, and bought three cars, in fact, and paid cash for them. And I've bought another home when I moved from where I was 5 years ago, nearly 5 years, and bought another home and paid cash for that. How? Well, I can't tell people hell on an individual basis except right. that God Almighty, by His grace, has provided, because that's where I set my faith, and I tried to obey Him when He said give.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. Gerald, is there one more principle there? Was that all five?
Well, you know, being a liberal soul is something that I guess not too many of us ever really come into. God said the liberal soul shall be made fat.
Yeah.
If I can always think in terms of doing unto others like I want them to do to me, mm-hmm. and do it first.
Yeah.
Then trust God to see to it that all my needs are met and supplied.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that God literally views me having my own money in reserve as a need.
Mm-hmm.
He views that as a need, not just a surplus, but it's a need. And I can't function in a no-borrowing lifestyle as long as I have to lean on other people or the banks for my money.
Right. Well, I believe these principles are very true, and I know that Gene and I, you know, we have put these principles in motion. I know they work, and I know they have worked for you, and I know there are people that are listening today that have a tremendous desire to be out of debt, and I believe that you've given some principles. I know that you could teach for many hours, but you've given some principles that will help people. And I believe that that a desire needs to be expressed for 2015 for people to come out of debt. And so I want you to pray for those that are listening, because I believe that there's a lot of people that are going to say, I believe that 2015 is the year that I'm going to come out of debt, that I am going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So I know that you have helped so many individuals and so many churches come out of debt so that they can prosper. I know that a lot of people want to prosper, but I believe the first step is just getting out of debt. And so I want you to pray for the people today, Gerald. And it's a tremendous privilege to have you on today. So would you say a prayer for the listeners today, the people that says, I want to come out of debt, I want to begin to prosper, but I believe that God's going to help me get out of debt, and I'm going to follow these principles. So say a prayer for us.
I will do it. There are 13 churches, Brother Dale, that I know of, and it's gone on from there to a lot more that I have heard about, but that I know of who got out of debt because they established a plan in their church of getting the church out of debt, and the people joined in and did it, and they got out of debt in the process. Lots of letters. Had lots of pastors that just have talked to me and sent word to me. So let's do that. Let's agree in prayer. Father, it is with great joy that we know in our hearts that when we pray, you do hear us and you do help us. Father, I just encourage any listener, if you're by radio, however you're receiving this, any kind of receiver, just lay your hands on that as though we were connecting physically with our hands, and believe with me now. Father, I pray that these persons who are reaching out to you, Father, there are so many desperate people out there, so many desperate, not just unbelievers, but your children that love you and believe in you and trust you, but we're destroyed, we're limited for lack of knowledge. I pray for them. I pray the Holy Ghost now will witness in their hearts that you're hearing this prayer. And as they make their determination and decision to trust you and to follow the principles, Father, that are established in your word, and do those things, that we receive deliverance from bondage and from debt supernaturally, like we receive deliverance, Father, for our souls by grace through faith. Let it be so now. Many stories, Father, of how you provided supernaturally to get your people out of debt, both in the scriptures and also in my own life. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you now for doing even more than we know to ask. And may every heart be encouraged today to know that God has ears to hear, has a long arm to reach, and his hand is resting with palms down to bless you, and to help you as you lift your palms up. Thank you for hearing my prayer, and thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share it with Brother Dale Gentry today.
Well, thank you very much, Gerald Davis. What a blessing you've been to my life these years that I've known you, these past 25 years, and a faithful man, 59 years in the ministry and 60 years in marriage. That's a pretty good track record. And we need men like you that have set the pace for us. And tell the people how they can get your materials, because I know that you have sermons and materials. And how can people contact you? How can they make a connection with you, Gerald?
Well, I have a website. It's GeraldDavis.org, or they can connect with me through email. It's GDavis@GeraldDavis.org, or you can write to our mailing address, 9955 Tulip Street, Conroe, 77385, Texas. And we'll be most happy to respond to you. I'll write a letter to you if you need me to. If you want to tell me your situation, we'll join with Brother Dale and his team, and we'll be prayer partners with you. God will bring you out. Amen.
I believe that, Gerald. And thank you for sharing that with us. And God bless you and Thelma. And may you continue to be the tremendous blessing that you have been. It's been great to have you on today. And I know that a lot of people, these are going to be prime words that they're going to be able to use in 2015 to come out of debt. Thank you very much, Gerald Davis.
Amen.
God bless you. Well, I trust that you enjoyed the interview there with my longtime friend, Gerald Davis, tremendous man of God, man of tremendous influence in this nation. And we've had two guests on today. I don't think we've ever done that since we started BPN Radio. But we appreciate you being a part of the broadcast today. I speak a blessing upon you. I declare that you can do what God says you can do. You can go where God says you can go. You can have what God says you can have. You can be what God says you can be. You can start what God says you can start. You can finish what God says you can finish. You can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens you. Yes, you can, and you must do it, because the Lord is with you, and the plan is a good plan. Thank you for being a part of BPN. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time or any time as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.